And I think it's important that we understand that there's a difference between praise and worship. In my opinion, Kathy, you're a worship leader. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But it seems in my mind that praise is more the preliminary stuff, the surface stuff. We praise God for everything that He's done, and I think that that's a powerful element. But I think when we come to the place where there's a transition from the praise into worship, I think that there's a transition that takes place from maybe a 'cause to me it seems like praise is celebratory. Celebratory. Is that even a word? Celebratory? Wow. How'd you like that one, Dennis? Huh? Give me some, huh? Celebratory of the things of God. The children of Israel were in this celebratory state when they had been delivered. They celebrated the victory that God had given them. And so by doing so, they were lifting their hearts and their voices toward to the Lord. And the people were, the praise was outward and upward. Amen? We lift our hands. We dance around. I get a kick out of my grandson, Casey Cole, when he those ribbons are meant for doing all this fancy stuff, but his, like a dog on a leash, man. He just drags that puppy around, you know. I don't know what's going on in that little gripper's mind and his heart. I really don't. But I think God does. And I think, I guarantee, let me just say it this way. There ain't none of us getting up and following him around. You know why? We're inhibited, and he's not. After they had been delivered from the bondage and the danger that the children of Israel were in, this great danger, they sang with joy, and when they crossed the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's armies followed them. I don't know. There's no way. I mean, I'd have had a hard time as a child of God walking through with that ocean backed up and split apart. All right, just go on ahead and walk through there on dry ground. Sure, no problem. I'd be like, man, woo! I'm sure they can see them. Can you imagine that? I don't know what kind of sea critters they got in the Red Sea, but I'm sure a few of them were swimming by to see what in the world's going on. It's kind of like the story that you tell from when you, I think you was in Mexico or someplace like that, and you get tied onto one of them big old kites on the back of the boat, and then they start slacking the winch off on that thing, and the wind catches that dude, and it starts picking you up, and you get up there 250 feet in the air, and you're looking down, and there's stuff in there you can't see from the back of the boat, and you're like, man, I hope this thing don't break. And the children of Israel went through there, and the army, the Pharaoh's army, followed them in there, and the Lord said, okay, now. And whew. Drowned the whole bunch. Every one of them. What would your reaction, anybody got, now I know we're in church. I get that. But this is, because we're in church, we have to be honest. Because God's watching. Okay? Has anybody got enemies? Is there any enemy? Listen, it can even be a spiritual enemy. Okay? So that'll help some of us be able to raise our hand. Wouldn't it cause you to rejoice and celebrate to see your enemy drowned in this? I mean, I'm not talking maybe necessarily to be drowned, but dealt with. Removed. That's exactly what the Lord did. Is he drowned them, but by drowning them, he removed the threat of that enemy. And that's really the implication that I'm trying to get. I mean, it's not like you got your next door neighbor's your enemy and you're like, I'd just like to see that guy drowned. That's not what I'm talking about. But see, they sang a song. They sang a song, and the with their enemies drowned and their freedom secure, the people of Israel burst into song and praise for the Lord. Listen, Dennis, I don't know about you, but man, you hit me up as soon as I walked in here about Anthony. And we didn't know, and I'm starting to get concerned. You're concerned. Everybody's concerned. Where's that? Did you not sense a relief? Knowing, well, now we know where he's at. We don't know why. We don't know everything about it. But we have a sense of relief knowing that the guy's not, you know, incapacitated to some level and we can't get to him. That's a sense of relief. The children of Israel, and as great as that feels for us, the children of Israel sense this extreme release of the, they, I mean, they've been being, they're being chased and chased and chased by this army that had let them go, and they're being chased and they're being harassed, and the Lord says, listen guys, I'm gonna split the sea, you just go through there, and they go through there on dry ground, which is another miracle all by itself. The children of Israel follow them in, I mean, the armies, the Pharaoh's army follows them into the Red Sea, and just like that, bam! They are consumed. They are swallowed up by the sea and drowned and never seen again. Wow. No wonder they busted out into song and praise for the Lord. The Lord is mentioned 10 times in Exodus chapter 15 in the first few verses. 10 times He's mentioned there in this hymn as Israel sang to the Lord about the Lord, and for true worship it involves a faithful witness to who God is and what He's done for you and I as people. Church, when we get done building the building out here, there's going to be a praise celebration. There's going to be a worship celebration. And if it does not last for like the first 15 or 20 years that we're in there, we're in trouble. Listen, me and some of the rest of us in here are dealing with the architects and the engineers and those kinds of people. We know what kind of a deal is going on it's going to be a big deal. To see God move is going to be a big deal, folks. It's going to be big. I'm not going to be able to stand in this pulpit with my thumbs in my breast pockets and go, look what I did. Tommy, you're not going to be able to walk away one day and say, look what I built. We're all going to have to get down on our knees before God and say, look what God did. Look what God did. Because He's the only one big enough to accomplish what we're trying to do, Bob, is God. And I don't care how you look at it, in my mind, this is as big in many ways, in my little opinion, as what God did here. God delivered His children from the bondage of Egypt. God is going to deliver this city and this church through a building out there that nobody says can happen except the faithful. God's victory for the children of Israel. I know I haven't even got to where I told you I was going to start yet, and I apologize for that, except not really. The victory that God provided for the children of Israel was a victorious thing. It was It was splendid, and it was wholly the work of the Lord. And the victory that we're going to experience is wholly a work of the Lord, church. Let me tell you what it's doing. It's causing me to say, God, how, in what area of my life am I maybe not lined up with what you would have me to do? Because God, let it not be that Pastor Shane is the problem with the thing not taking place and progressing. Make sure, God, that I'm in line with what you have for this place. The Egyptian army was thrown into the sea, and the soldiers sank like stones, like lead. It talks about it in verse 5 and in verse 10. And Moses commanded the children of Israel that they should enter the promised land, that they were to praise God for His goodness in giving them the promised land. Can I just tell you something? I know we're not the children of Israel, but God gave us this chunk of land. He gave us this chunk of land. We are going to possess it. Can we agree? Can we get behind that? Come hell or high water. Listen, I know that's a saying from old days, but that's literally what we're facing. We're facing the opposition from the portals of hell. And it's all about high water. That's the absolute truth. But my God's bigger than all of that. All right. I'm on track now. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Turn there in your Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go to verse 10. When you have eaten and are full. Remember me reading this last week? It can be rough. Let me just say that. When you have eaten and you are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land in which He has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses to dwell in them, and your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all you have is multiplied, and when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, and you have brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and a thirsty land where there was no water, and brought you water from out of the flinty rock, and you fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, and which might that He might humble you, and that He might test you to do you good in the end. And then you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember, verse 18, that the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore with your fathers as it is this day. We cannot forget what it is that God has done for us. Don't get comfortable in this gray brick building. But God has given us this building. We cannot forget. Bob, I'm just running through my mind the miracles that have taken place. Over and over. If you remember right, if you've been here with us since we've been in this building, when we got this building was filled. There's a big hole underneath that baptismal that we filled in with gravel and concrete because there was a huge big machine there. And there was this whole wall was lined with machines. That wall was lined with machines. There was machines everywhere. There was mechanical stuff everywhere. And it all went with the previous establishment of this building. And when we sold this building to them, I gave them 60 days in which to get it out. That parking lot out there, there was, I think, six trailers, semi-trailers out there, full of equipment and full of stuff. I gave them 60 days to remove all of this stuff. It was all theirs. But at the end of 60 days, they lose possession of it and it becomes possession of us. Day 60, they called me on the phone and said, "Hey, we'd like to come and get our stuff." And I said, "Well, it's all yours. Come and get it." I said, "But you have to be here by close of business today, which is 5:00. And they're in Portland." "Well, we can't do that." I said, "You've had 60 days. Day 60, you call me and want your stuff. I can't help you." It would be a breach of contract. The next day, I get a phone call from the same guy. "I know that our deadline has been met and we can no longer come and get it. But can we buy it from you?" "Well, you sure can. Bring me some money." So they brought money, a lot of it, and paid for what was already theirs if they would have just came and got it. I don't know if that was just procrastination on their part or if it was just a way of God saying, "I've got more bundled up in this whole deal than what you even imagine." And the blessings of God have just came over and over. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because we must never forget what God has done, is doing, and is going to do in the facilitation of this project. We may never forget it. After being set free from Egypt, Israel's destination was not the wilderness. It was the promised land. It was the place of their inheritance. Deuteronomy 6 and 23, "And he being God, brought us out from there." Where's there? It's Egypt. "That he might bring us in." Bring us into what? Bring us into the promised land. I don't know what you think about Myrtle Creek, Oregon, but it's my hometown. I was born and raised right here. There's been all kinds of prophecies about Myrtle Creek. Myrtle Creek, for whatever reason, has always been a stronghold of the enemy. When we were in Coos Bay, Oregon, working in youth ministry, there was a survey taken statewide of counties in all of Oregon, and the number one and number two counties in the state of Oregon for raising children was Douglas County and Coos County. Number one and number two worst counties in the state to raise kids in. You don't think God needs a rescue mission in this country, in this city, in this town? You're not here by accident, young lady. He ain't done with you yet either, Carl, just for the record. You're an encouragement Well, what do? I just come to church. Yep. And it encourages me that every time the doors are open, Carl, you're here. Every time the doors are open. Why is that such an encouragement, Pastor? It's because somebody said, when the church is having church, I'm going to be there. Because it's important. And it's an encouragement to other people. It's an encouragement. Don't take for granted. Dennis, every time we have a church service, you know what? There you are. Giving me a hard time? Yes, I don't care. You're here every time. And you know what? You're concerned about people. You're a little rough around the edges, but so is some of the rest of us. Speaking for myself. But it's an encouragement that you're here. You want to learn. You're eager to have a close relationship with God. You're eager to be used by... That's a good thing, folks. That's an encouraging thing. And listen, I'd not rather have somebody pop off at me all the time during church than have somebody not do a darn thing for the kingdom of God. I'd rather have that than have... Move me, preacher. It's true. It's true. That's true. That's true, Ray. But the flip side of that is you have to give in to what God says. Because there's 110... Well, I don't know what, I don't know why I said 110, but there's a lot of people that don't buy into that. They hear the voice of God. They know what they're supposed to do, but we just don't do it because I just got too many other things going on. If we've got too many things going on to be doing what God wants us to be doing, we got too much going on. We just do. So with the Christian life, being born again and redeemed from sin is literally only the beginning of our walk with the Lord. It's a great beginning to be sure, but it's only the beginning. Tell me again about Paul. The Apostle Paul,
I was telling Pastor that
I'm gonna preach this
if you read, when he was persecuting, killing Christians, and he had a conversion with God in Damascus Road. And then he goes, you know, for about 13 years, you know, the apostles didn't accept anything, but he's learning and training. And then when he writes his first book, when you go and read in the Bible, it says that he refers to himself as the least of the apostles. And then a few years goes by, and then he writes another book, and he refers to himself as the least of all the saints. And then a year before he dies, or when he's dying and giving his life, at the end of his life, in the service of God, he refers to himself as the chiefest of all sinners. The more he grew close to God, the more he recognized and humbled himself that he was the least.
Isn't that amazing? I think that's absolutely amazing. There's so much, church, that we can praise the Lord for in our everyday life. If we'll just take the time to acknowledge who it is that's blessing us. What's the Bible say? Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Do we recognize that and give Him credit and praise and worship and glory for what He's doing? David's desire to praise God is recorded both in the story of his life and in the Psalms that he wrote. And look at this. Praise this. It's a powerful expression of praise that David writes in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 2, 3, and 4. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and my horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. You have saved me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Woo! If that don't get your fire burning, church, your wood's wet. David began by praising the Lord for who He is. He's a rock. He's a fortress. He's the deliverer. Images that can certainly come out of David's years in the wilderness when he and his men are hiding from King Saul and in caves and natural fortresses. God is my rock can also be translated my rock-like God. Church, He is immovable. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking. You know why? Because He's the solid rock. He told Peter, He said, you're Petra, you're Petros, and on this rock I will build my church. Why the rock? Because the rock don't move. Why are we going to have a rock in our building, Tom? Because the rock is a significant structure that says, I'm not moving. He's our strong tower. And the righteous run into it and are safe. Jump all the way down to 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 44. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted. The rock of my salvation. David had this imagery in his mind. What did David fling at Goliath? A rock. David knew that there was the power in the rock would stop and take out the enemy. It was a rock. It wasn't a pebble. It was a rock. David had praise for God that was wholehearted. Praise is not just some song about God. It's a song to God. It's declaring our praise and thanksgiving to Him. In this song, David uses word pictures like rock and light and shield Try that again. David uses word pictures such as rock, light, and shield to portray God's marvelous attributes. Praising God. Boy, I don't even think I want to get into this tonight. Maybe I will anyway. See, praising God has several aspects to it, and let's look at it. Number one, when we praise God, when we are praising God, when we're exalting God, when we're rejoicing and praising God for what He's done, we need to be saying thank you to Him for every attribute of His divine nature. Church, do we even know the attributes of His divine nature? Or we just know that God has a divine nature and He's got a lot of attributes to it, and so, woohoo! Or have we taken time to look through the Word and the Scripture and pinpoint and pick out the divine... Listen, you want to know what my favorite divine attribute of God is? He is long-suffering. God, I'm grateful. I rejoice that You're long-suffering, that You haven't just picked up the rug and kicked me under it and throwed the rug back down and forgot about me. God, I'm thankful that You are a forgiving God. I'm grateful, God, that You care for me and that You nurture me and You don't give up on me. I battle with things in my mind all the time, and I keep going back to a portion of Scripture that said God knew me from before the foundations of the earth. He knows me now, and He knows my end. And He knows all there is to know about me, and He still picked me. He still called me. He still chose me. I am not worth being chosen by God, in my opinion. But God apparently saw something in me, and I, for the life of me, don't know what that was or is. But hey, your attributes, God, thank You for them. Thank You that You love me. Thank You that even while I was Your enemy, Your Word declares that You first loved me, that You died for me, You gave Your Son to redeem me, You called me, I answered the call, I blew the call, time after time after time, and You kicked me in the butt and say, get back in the game. Take the Say thank you for the attributes of His divine natures. And we ought to look for other characteristics for which to thank God for. God, thank you for your provision in my life. Thank you for health. Thank you for wholeness. Thank you that I'm not afraid to step out in faith when faith seems completely crazy. Number two, we need to focus our hearts on God. Why is that significant? I'll tell you why it's significant. Maybe not for you, but for me. This is why that phrase, to thank God, to focus our heart on God. I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. My mouth has spoken way too often, and the things that were coming out would dictate that my heart might be a little sour. Hello? So God, help me to focus my heart on you. Take one attribute of God, like His mercy, and concentrate on it for an entire week in your meditation and in your prayer. Pick out an attribute of God. And just focus on that and meditate on it while you're driving down the road. Don't close your eyes, but remember one day we was driving down Interstate 15. We got a phone call on my phone and somebody had an urgent prayer request. Mike and I are driving down. I'm driving. And talking on the phone, anyway. Yes, well, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this situation, this need. And I don't know how far I'd gone, but all of a sudden it dawned on me. You're driving. You should open your eyes when you're praying and driving. That's a true story. I'm not even kidding you. Focus your heart on God. Number three, thank God for His mercy and for His many gracious gifts to us. Listen, what have you got in your life that you can attribute as a grace, a gift that God... This building, this property, this, each one of you, to me, are a gift. A gift. Every one of you. Make a list. Well, here's another song. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has. Church, we have lost the art of counting the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. When we do recognize that a blessing of God has been given to us, we're just like, yep, thanks, that's good. Goes right in my pocket and I move on. Man, we need to stop, folks. And we need to begin to think, oh God, I certainly don't deserve that. But Lord, I so thank you for the blessing that you have bestowed upon me. God, thank you so much for that. Thank you, God, for the wisdom that you've given us and the blessings of God. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. Number four, thank God for our relationship with Him. He is not a religious figure. He is a relational God. We were around my kitchen table 2 weeks ago. We was around my kitchen table and we was in a conversation with a gentleman about life after death and what happens with your body and what happens in, you know, heaven and hell and purgatory and, you know, paradise and all. What about all of that stuff? And we're just working and talking and thinking and, you know, we're just having this conversation around the table, right? Well, there was another lady there that comes in once in a while, helps Tammy out with some of the cleaning and the things around the house. And we're just having this conversation, and she's listening to this conversation. Well, she came back yesterday. Was it yesterday? A couple days ago, whenever. And she was listening to that conversation, and that conversation sparked in her a desire to come to church. We don't never know. And her sister. We don't never know the impact that just our conversations are going to have on somebody. We thank God that we have a relationship that is secure in you, that we can talk to people about you, and because of our conversation about you, others are drawn to you. Thank you for that, Lord. Through Christ, you and I have been given the gift of salvation. Is that amazing? Is that amazing? Fred, one of these days you're gonna move in. You're gonna move again, and you ain't gonna have to pack your bags. You're just gonna be there. You won't have time. But the offer's nice. We've been given the free gift of salvation. God, tell God again. Remind God, not that He needs it, but you need to hear yourself say it. Remind God, tell God again how much you appreciate the gift of salvation. God. Especially after we blow it. Thank you, God. One of these days, when we enter heaven, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm going to be shocked that I made it. And I'm going to say to God, thank you for saving me. I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. I can't buy it. It's a gift. It's a free gift. Eternal salvation. God, I so appreciate it. In verse 47, there's a shout from David, and he says, the Lord lives. And it was a bold witness to those subjected people and their dead idols that could not save them, and it could not protect them. And only Jehovah, the God of Israel, is the true and the living God. And the victories that David's seen and the enthronement proved that God was with him. The whole army of Israel is cowering in their boots. And a little shepherd boy steps out and says, hey, who's this uncircumcised Philistine that is defying the armies of the God of my people? Oh, and what was it that the king said that he would do to the one that takes that guy out? David went out there under the anointing, under the protection of God. I believe endued with power from the Holy Spirit. I think he probably had a song on his heart. And he stopped at the Kidron Brook and picked out 5 rocks. One for Goliath and one for the rest of his brothers. And he went down there and he ran. He ran toward the enemy. Picked out a stone. After he declared to Goliath, who is 9 foot 9 inches tall. That's a big dude. Yeah, I mean, how could you miss? And he said, today, the birds of the air and the beasts of the field are going to eat your carcass and on all the rest of you guys. That, paraphrased, that's what he said. And he picked out a stone after Goliath mocked him, ridiculed him. Did not faze David a bit. You know why? Because he knew who God was. He knew what God could do. He had experienced victory at the hands of the Lord. Remember, he killed a lion. And he killed the bear. The bear is my favorite story. Because the Bible says he literally grabbed him by the face, by the beard, by the hair on his face, and punched his lights out. I've seen bears. I ain't running out there and grabbing one of them. David did. He's like, those are my sheep, and you ain't getting them. And he punched him out. And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of Israel? Pulled out a stone, put it in his sling. Bam! Right between the running lights, man. I mean, drilled him. Went out there, took Goliath's sword, and cut Goliath's head off with Goliath's sword, and then packed his head around as a trophy for a week or 2 weeks. Look what I did. Biggest buck I ever killed in my life was up at Tiller. I hauled that thing around showing it off until it was almost rotten. Because I was so proud. David was just like that. He was like, ah! David was always careful. Listen to me. I'm closing. David was always careful not to exalt himself, but to exalt the Lord. I appreciate the kind words that some of you have spoken to me about our ministry. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I sound a little standoffish, I'm giving all the glory to God. Because I got very, very little to do with it. I'm just being honest. David closes his song with high and holy praise for the Lord God of Israel. He exalted the Lord, and the Lord exalted him. The Lord exalted David. I believe the Lord is going to exalt us, church. We're going to do things that the naysayers say we can't do. We're going to see Myrtle Creek, Oregon, turned upside down for the glory of God. Can you believe with me for that? Church, we've got to learn how to pray again. We've got to learn how to pray again. We've got to learn. We can know the Bible inside and out. But unless we know the author, unless we have an intimate relationship with the author, it's just another book. God, I want my heart to be in tune with your heart. God, I want our church to be in tune with your heart. God, I pray that your people would learn how to glorify you and praise you and exalt you. God, I ask you to do a work in my life, in my heart. God, that my life would be exemplary of your Son. That my heart would be a heart after God. That everything that I do would point toward Jesus. That everything that I say would be bathed in love and compassion and kindness. God, help us to be mindful of our tongue. Help us, Lord, to put others before ourselves. Lord, help us to truly be your children. To exalt you, to glorify you, to praise you, and to serve you. God, I pray over every person in this room tonight. I pray over every person that may be watching tonight by way of the internet. And I pray, God, that Your anointing would rest on every one of us to the degree that every yoke of bondage would be destroyed off of our life. There's a catchphrase in the church that says the anointing breaks the yokes of bondage. And if you'll read that scripture and if you'll study that scripture, you'll find that it's incorrect. It actually says that the anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. Because something that is broken can be fixed. But if something is destroyed, it's beyond repair. God, I pray You destroy every yoke of bondage off of every one of our lives. God, I thank You for it. I thank You for it. God, again, we lift those that we prayed for Big Steve and Anthony and Ben and different ones. Mary's daughter, Jenny. God, all these different ones that need Your healing touch. Father God, would You touch them and heal them? Heal them, Lord. Renew our strength. I'm reminded in Deuteronomy when Moses died, he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land because he did not follow what God told him to do. And the Bible says that when Moses died, he wasn't sick. He wasn't all used up. He still had good hearing. He still had good sight. He still had his physical attributes, but God said, your time is up. Bam! Come up here. Church, we don't have to be sick to die. God, help us to walk with You. Help us to get our strength from You. How do I do that? The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. How do I get joy? We get joy by being secure in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Walking with Him every day. Fellowshipping with Him every day. Getting in His Word every day. Seeking His face every day, and He will begin to fill us with His Holy Spirit's power. He will begin to endue us with His presence, and He will begin to walk with us and guide us, and we will hear that still small voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. God, I thank You. I praise You. And I give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I love you. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great week. We shall see you later.